those habits you forge in the fire will carry you into your next journey.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Coach Tevin Brown, the assistant coach with the Texas Legends of the NBA G League. Coach Brown's coaching journey started as a seventh grade girls head coach and high school girls assistant at All Saints Episcopal in Tyler, Texas. He then worked as director of player development and special assistant at UT Tyler for a year. Following that, he spent a season as a pro skills trainer with Tyler Ralph Basketball in Dallas. In 2022, he joined the Texas Legends as video coordinator and player development coach. He's since added the title of assistant coach, now entering his third season with the Legends. Coach Brown brings a unique perspective shaped by mentorship, skills training, and video breakdown experiences. Known for his energy, attention to detail, and relational approach, he's quickly become a rising voice in the player development side. In this episode, we talk about his growth from being a seventh grade girls coach to then being in the NBA, mindset to have as a young coach looking to grow in the industry, and how to adapt as a coach with an always changing roster. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach Tevin Brown. Dr. Dish Basketball, the number one selling shooting machine in the world, provides the most innovative game-like training with on-demand workouts, multiplayer stat tracking, and instant analytics that allow coaches and players to be better every day. All you have to do is mention Rising Coaches for an exclusive discount on a Dr. Dish shooting machine for your team. Coaches, thanks for tuning in. Rising Coaches podcast, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, back with another one here today. And we are ecstatic to be able to learn from not only somebody who is part of the Rising Coaches community, but also somebody who has worked their way up, who has a path that I'm sure a lot of you can resonate with. So before I talk any more on it, let's introduce our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, the assistant coach with the Texas Legends, Coach Tevin Brown. Coach Brown, welcome. What's going on?
Happy to be here. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you.
The smile is glowing. Everybody's ecstatic. I can tell he's happy to be here, so you know it's going to be a good episode. Coach, as I said in the beginning, like a lot of people can resonate with the path that you have had. I know you had a playing career. Obviously, you go into, you know, we'll get into your background a little bit more, but you were a high school girls coach and seventh grade girls head coach. Now, obviously, a lot of steps in between. You become an assistant with the Texas Legends, and we can go over everything in there. But for you, right? Your background, your history can resonate with a lot of people, but what ultimately guided you into taking that first position with the All Saints Episcopal, that seventh grade girls head coaching position? Like, what guided you into that? Because I feel a lot of people out of the rip might think, oh, I'm better than that. I want to go for a higher position. What kind of guided you into that?
What guided me into that was failure. At the time, I wasn't in college. I flunked out of college just being an immature young adult and not taking care of my business when I had the opportunity to be a college athlete. I didn't maximize the opportunity. So during that time, I was actually working at Chick-fil-A, and I was at the time, my current girlfriend, I was just living with her, so I didn't have a place to stay. So I was working 9 to 5 every day at Chick-fil-A, but at the same time, I was working out every day trying to get back into school and take care of my academic issues, but also take care of my game. So when the opportunity do comes, I'm ready. So I was just working that every single day. Then I went to an open gym and I met some guys. And his name is Tommy Mitchell. He had a professional career, played in college, and he took me on his wing. And at All Saints, a small school in Tyler, Texas, we worked out there every day. Then at the time, one of his friends, like, we know all connections, and then we all connect the dots. One of his friends was dating the head coach of All Saints women's team. Then she loved my energy. She loved what I brought to the gym. And they asked me to be a part of the staff, and I took it. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. It was just pure out of love, but at the same time, it gave me a free gym to work at every day. So I took the opportunity. It gave me an opportunity to grow as a coach, as a person, and I had no idea what I was doing. It was just out of pure love and joy.
You know what's amazing, man? You were in a, you know, failure can put you in a dark place. You know, like you had this opportunity, and then, you know, you feel like it slipped through your fingers there for a while, and then, you know, that dark place creates a lot of uncertainty, and you don't know what's on the other side of that uncertainty. But one of the biggest things that coaches can do, and we don't have it enough in our profession, is when someone is in a dark place, hand them a candle. And these All Saints people handed you a candle in the dark. Think about that, man. Like, I mean, your confidence is shot. You feel like your opportunity is shot. You know, you're hoping that there's another crack at it. If, you know, you can recover academically and then obviously get your game right and earn the right to maybe have another chance. But somebody hands you a candle in the dark, man. And look at what happened.
And funny thing is, my first job was apartment complex. Did not want to do it. My mom was like, make some easy money. Yeah. I was a leasing agent at an apartment complex. No idea what I was doing. No idea how to sell an apartment. No idea to have a conversation with somebody to get them to buy an apartment. So my daily job was just to ride around on the scooter, look nice, and put stickers of water maintenance or whatever they needed to be done at the moment. Then Chick-fil-A was actually my second job that I ever had in my life. So I was at Chick-fil-A, no idea what I was doing. I just know I had this love for basketball. And Chick-fil-A was my way of getting back into basketball and obviously building a connection with people. But Chick-fil-A offered me an opportunity because I was in a very uncomfortable place that I had to accept. And through those dark moments, it's easy to say find your passion, but it's hard to find your passion when your passion is taken away. And my thing, I always joke to people, a lot of people go to school for books. All I knew was basketball. My parents raised me as books and ball, but for me, it was ball, ball, and more ball. And so I didn't know any other way but to find a way to play basketball.
No, that's crazy. Thank God for those All Saints folks, man. That's amazing.
And it was a great opportunity. Have fun. Met a lot of great people.
All it takes is that one person to take a shot on you, right? I know we always say it, but the amount of people you go around, you shake their hand, you shake 100 hands, is all, as long as it takes that one person to say, you know what, let's go for it. That one person could change your life, and that's All Saints right there. But then they, as we know, like you had a playing career at Texas at Tyler, University of Texas at Tyler. But then that's ultimately the first college position. So I'm assuming you knew the head coaches. That's what kind of led you into the college atmosphere. But then you go PGC, Point Guard College, Skills Distancing Club, Winnipeg Sea Bears, and you're slowly moving your way up. And then Texas Legends, here we are in the NBA, right? But that first position, I want to stay on that because that I really think people will, you know, resonate with this truly. But what was the mindset in that position? So now we know what kind of got you into it. What was the mindset into it, knowing that this isn't where I want to be long term, but this is what I have to do to be able to make it to where I want to be?
Yeah. And also knowing that you really didn't know what you were doing. So, like, that's a whole nother mindset. So it's kind of two mindsets in one.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. No, it was for me growing up, I never wrote down goals or dreams. I just wasn't that kid. Again, go back to the point of ball, 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 and more ball. I used basketball. I grew up in the park playing basketball. I had amazing cousins and a friend group around me that coached me and taught me basketball. So that's all I knew. I didn't have a dream growing up in a small town, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, 50,000 people, probably way less today, but never met a professional athlete, never like knew anything about NBA basketball. Really, I watched it on TV. My favorite players were Allen Iverson, Gilbert Arenas, and Kobe. So that's really all I knew about professional basketball. So I didn't really have any real like dream of like working in the NBA. So I never really had a plan. So I just got into coaching. Lewis Wilson, I credit all of my foundation coaching wise to Lewis Wilson and who I am as a coach and what the role he played in my life. Again, when I was at my darkest moment, he laid the foundation for me. So he was actually on his coaching visit at UT Tyler. He was coming from Grand Canyon as an assistant. He was interviewing for a D2 head coaching job. And again, I was trying to get back into school and I was using the gym every day to work out. So during his visit, I was on the court at the time. Again, perfect place, perfect timing. I was writing in my book, tracking my workout. And I remember the first time I met him, he was like, "What are you writing in your book?" So I had my book in my bag and I was like, sure. I was all my workouts for over the last 2 years of me trying to get back into shape. And I was consistent, right? He had like a 2 or 3 day visit. I was in the gym every single day. Then he got the job. Then he got the job and he called me into his office and I was just around him every single day as a player, every single day in his office. He had his office. I was sitting right in front of him every single day. And over time, he gained trust and I played for him. And that was a very, very unique experience because he was a point guard. He held point guards to like, in my mind, I was like, there's no way I can be good enough for you ever. Like, I can't do anything. I can't do anything to be good enough. So, but he held us to that standard every single day, the way we walk, the way we talk. If you didn't approach it with enough energy, he told you, like, get some juice about yourself. Let's get going. And that led into me coaching. So I hung around him every single day. And one random day I was in his office. He was like, "Tevin, come here, come file these papers." And boom, that was my job interview for my first job. I started filing papers and I somehow ended up on his staff. And he taught me the game. And he told me two things, right? The first thing was he coached because he was coached. And that's the reason why I coach. He coached me like every single day as a man, as a leader, and as a person. Every single day, he coached me. It don't matter what I was doing, I could be tying my shoe. Why are you tying your shoe so that slow? Like urgency. Then the second thing was, if you care enough, one day you'll be good enough. And just building that foundation in me as a man, like as a father, if you care about being a good father, you're gonna be a good father one day. If you care about being a good student, you're gonna be a good student one day. And you're gonna be a good basketball coach. You care enough, you're gonna be a good basketball coach. And he laid that. He laid those two things into me from early in my coaching career. And I'm sorry for rambling, but those were like key moments for me. Then the last one, the third thing was be a pro. And that's every single day. Be a pro. Prepared, responsible, organized. Do your work. Take responsibility of your work. Take care of your business. Then have systems in place for every single detail. So he's an old school. Got the binder, football coach type style. football type style. I had one as a player and I had one as a coach and I worked for him. And he told me, no matter where you go, take these binders. And whenever you get your head coaching opportunity, you have the foundation to build a great program if you care enough. So that was my beginning and that's the foundation he laid into me. And that carries me on today.
You know, so we got two cornerstones with this deal here: girls basketball and filing papers.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, like, none of us ever know how it's going to turn out, but like, the biggest thing you said there that, and we talk about this a lot on here, is like, he saw it in you before you saw it in yourself. You know, and so the All Saints people hand you a candle in the dark. He gives you another candle in the dark in the form of another opportunity and a second chance. Like, we can feel the emotion coming through your voice about this guy. Cause like, listen, you know, you're working out, trying to get back in shape, you know, trying to get right academically and all the stuff with, and still not knowing how it's going to play out. Like, if he doesn't get that job, if somebody else comes through the door, who knows?
Absolutely. And one challenge he gave me, he sat me down in his office because, again, I was smart, but I didn't equip myself all the time when it comes to school. I did enough to play basketball. And that was my way of telling my story, because at the time as a kid growing up and even in college, I didn't talk a lot. So my emotion was shown through my energy and passion on the basketball court. So that's how I expressed myself. He sat me down in his office and my challenge for that summer was, if you want to be on this basketball team, you got to get a 3.2 GPA in summer school. I was taking three classes at the time. And I sat down in front of him. I was like, I got you. just solely because of how much he cared. And even he learned my name first, and that goes, we know how important that is. Somebody learns your name. Even on a basketball court, you go to the court and they be like, I got Allen today. You feel good about yourself. Like, okay, they know me. They know me. He learned my name. And through that connection, he connected Tevin with Tevin Campbell. So every time he saw me, he saw him, can we talk? And he would dance. And like, it was like a mutual connection. And it made me, yeah, it made me feel safe as a like a young guy that was looking for like that connection. And I knew I could trust him. Yeah, I knew I could trust him. I knew I could trust him from that moment. And
a lifeline.
Yeah. I got the 3. I ended up getting like a 3.5 in summer school, and boom, I was back in school. I was back on the team, and it worked out perfectly.
That's awesome. I mean, I have to say too, well-oiled machine. That's the one thing I got to say about the workers there. They are a well-oiled machine.
For sure.
They do.
For sure.
They do. It's amazing.
No, absolutely. They're very, very particular of every single detail. Because I worked in the back, right? I didn't talk a lot, so I wasn't the biggest people person yet. So they didn't put me out in the front from the My Pleasures. So I was.
So you didn't grow the My Pleasure yet?
No, okay. No. I was in the back on the bread table, burning up the buns, dropping fries. Very detailed job and very particular, but it was a great, great time. Great time.
No, that's awesome, though. To see that growth. And then let's fast forward a little bit. Okay, now you're stepping into the Winnipeg and you're stepping into Texas. Like, how did these positions come about? Obviously, there were steps, point guard, college, skills distancing club that have helped you excel from one to the next. There's a lot of people mm-hmm. and a lot of coaches I'm sure you met, especially doing the player development with that, all of those. But like, how did these positions ultimately come about for you to be able to take those next steps?
Perfect. Great question. Summertime grind, sweat equity, I would say, Jacksonville, Florida. Small gym, storage unit, actually, with Will Cummins and Peyton Siever. Those are my first two clients. That's where skill distancing comes from, social distancing. So we was in the gym working out, and the rapper Little Baby has a song, Social Distancing, or something like that. I can't remember. And Will Cummins was like, we can just start a skills distancing club. That's going to be the name of your brand. I was like, perfect. That's dope. Came out of COVID. So through that journey with Will Cummins, we got into our small gym because we was kicked out of our other gym. Got to our small gym, and Mike Taylor, the head coach of, at the current time, he was the head coach of Poland national team. And he wanted Will Cummins to get dual citizenship to be a part of the team. And I was working out with Will Cummins at the time, and Mike Taylor came for a week of workouts, and we was working out every morning at 5:45. So it was like some dedication to it in the middle of the summer in Florida, hot. We didn't have AC, so it was just pure grind.
Yeah, you better work out early.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So no AC, 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning. He loved the workout. He watched me. Current NBA guy, made the connection. He taught me NBA terminology. And so Mike Taylor, he came to the workouts, was teaching me terminology. We built a connection. He kind of mentored me over time as I was going through training, the training bits, and we stayed connected. First job in Vancouver, Canada, I wasn't ready because I had just started working with Tyler Ruff. So it was my first time around high-level basketball, high-level professional, so I turned it down. I wasn't ready. Then the following summer, after I got with the Texas Legends, I went through that year, he hit me up again. So we're in the January area of like 2022, and I was ready. I was like, love it. Perfect opportunity for me to grow my voice as a coach. Perfect opportunity to meet new people, get in front of new people, and just learn again, get those reps, be in the arena. Then from there, it took off to the Texas Legends. And that's why I tell young coaches trying to get into the business, add value to the coaches that you're wanting to connect with. If you want to grab people's attention, bring value. People value people who bring value and have answers and move. And that's another Lou-ism, as we call him, Lewis Wilson, sayings is move the mountain. Like coaches, head coaches, assistant coaches love people who move the mountain. So his thing is solutions. Always find solutions. And that was my mindset with Mike Taylor, with Texas Legends. Their assistant coach, Alex Serta at the time, reached out to me. It was like, are you interested in being a head video coordinator, player development coach due to my value I was bringing on Twitter with the plays and sets and also the player development stuff I was posting on Instagram? It wasn't a self-promotion. It was just pure, I'm bringing value. I'm not getting paid. I don't want any money. It's for pure love and joy and to connect with people. Then again, I wasn't a big talker at the time. So ball was how I connected with people because basketball has its own language. If you coach basketball, is a language. We connect through basketball. So that was my way of connecting. And through that connection, it led me to the Texas Legends.
It's a heck of a path. It really is.
It's like walking through a maze, man. It's like
sure.
All Saints, Lou Wilson, Winnipeg. Great.
I'm sure you had more than enough times through that path, doubting yourself, thinking it's not going to work out. That's the one thing, and that's why I like to highlight this so much, is because it's obviously it worked for you, right? You're in You're in a great position. You've had great positions and worked your way up from what point A to now point B. You've learned it, you've seen it, and you went through it yourself. And that's the one thing, especially, like, I know Al has a lot of people that reach out to him. I get people that reach out. Like, people always ask, how do we be able to get in positions such as yourself? And really, I feel like everybody thinks you're lying when you say it's so much more basic than you really think it is. There's no actual way of going about it. JJ Redick, became, now granted, he played in the NBA, but he was a podcast host. Now he's the head coach of a team. Now, obviously, his criterion background's a little different. But my point is there's no rhyme or rhythm to be able to get there. It's just, as you said, put in the hard work. And the three things that I took from you there: consistency, accountability, and priorities. Know what your priorities are, be consistent with it, and hold yourself accountable to make sure you do all
that. Love that. And I think the thing with JJ Redick as well, to speak on that, the thing about JJ Redick, he put himself in front of people. And he created value by our being able to articulate clear messaging during games and through a podcast. So even though lack of experience, he showcased the knowledge. And people value knowledge. Like, people value a bright mind. People value ideas and outside-the-box thinkers. So if you are outside-the-box thinkers that can constantly bring new ideas, people are going to love you and attract to you. And you're going to have haters or doubters or however you want to phrase it. But the thing is, stay consistent with bringing ideas and helping people find solutions.
Yeah, and his work ethic was impeccable because people, 16 years in the league, I think, is what he played. And absolutely. If you ever watched his pregame workout alone, was like, Doug, just Google it sometime, Doug, because I'm sure people probably got it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But what he would do pregame in that 30 to 45 minutes before tip off, I've never seen anything like it. I saw it live, but one year, I think when he was with the Clippers. And no, you're right. I mean, he really stepped into that thing and hit the ground running, did a great job.
To that point, Alan, for so many people, those habits you forge in the fire will carry you into your next journey. Whether if it's as a player, the habits you build as a player will carry you on. Because I can't remember who said it. I think it was Brazzi. I can't, on you all's podcast, but they were talking about when you're hiring people, you're not only hiring people, you're also hiring their habits. So NBA players that has a strong work ethic, whatever they do after playing, those habits are going to carry them on for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, it's weird to say it, and you really don't think, you're like, no, this isn't true. You form around the people that you're around, and especially coaches. You're around your team. You're around your coaches religiously, right? 7 days a week at minimum, 5 to 6 days a week, probably for at minimum 3 to 4 hours a day, and that's just minimum. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, depending on the position, and that's just for me being D3, I don't necessarily see my guys during the summer as much. But like higher levels, like with you guys, you're around probably 6-7 days a week. Your habits that they have ultimately start to form around your habits, and you don't notice it until after some time. And then I've noticed myself talking like previous people that I've been with, and I've caught myself have to be like, all right, you got to try and form your own identity here. I've caught myself a couple times.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what happens though, Tev? Like, this is the thing we want everybody to pull from this pod, is this right here. Your first sentence was talking about failure. Now, at the time, felt like the worst thing that could ever happen to you, because you had put all your basketball eggs in quote unquote one basket. Now that you're looking at all this in the rearview mirror, probably the single best thing that ever happened to you. because your habits now had to flip. Things had to change. Like, you literally had to restructure your own habit base from the ground up.
Absolutely.
Not only to get yourself to be in position to be in front of Coach Wilson, but then those habits had to get his attention for him to believe that you were committed enough. And that doesn't happen unless you had failed and then the gun got in a healthy way put to your head.
Absolutely.
To have to reform and reshape your own habits. So what ended up being looking like the worst thing that could ever happen really ended up being the best thing that ever happened, because it made you change. Like, it made you look at things differently. You had to look at ball differently. You had to look at yourself differently. You had to look at life differently. And you had to literally, like, it made you change. But then here comes Coach Wilson and sees that commitment. And all of a sudden, you're filing papers in the office. And here we are.
Absolutely. You
know? So for sure. That's what I hope people pull from this when it's all said and done. You have literally have just run your own race. It's easy to look around and see what other people were doing. But had you done that, you wouldn't have had the focus to stay locked down on what you were doing. You had to keep your head down and nose to the grindstone. It was the only way you were going to make it.
Yeah, to that point, I love Bane. Bane versus Batman, I love Bane. I'm a huge Bane guy. I love everything about Bane. And that quote that always sticks with me was, "You merely adapted to dark. I was born in it, molded by it. And that's the mindset. Because I think, especially coaches, everybody follows the success story. And before we succeeded, we failed. And I think that needs to be said more in coaching, because even the greatest coaches failed at some level. Every year, everybody's going to pull the plays, pull the sets from the team that won the championship. But sometimes in my mind, I go back and be like, let's go watch the worst team in the NBA or college level and see what they're doing. And you're still going to find some amazing ideas, because there's some really smart people and some really good basketball players out here in this world.
Or you could see what they're not good at, and then you could say, that's something, that's probably why they're not good right now. This is one reason. I feel like, truthfully, the seasons where we weren't so successful on teams that I've coached with, I feel like I've learned way more from those seasons, just because it's like, you now know, okay, this doesn't work. But like, when you're learning what works, you don't really expand. You don't have to learn more because you already see what's working. But when you're losing, you're like, we have to find alternative routes. We got to look for different things. I feel like that's when you start to learn and take away more the most.
That's a great point. That's good.
So let me ask this, taking this all full circle in a sense, going from seventh grade girls, bunch of stops in between, to now being a G League coach. And again, the only reason I keep bringing this up is because, like, as we're saying, this is phenomenal to be able to have this. And you've obviously you've made it to where you want to be. Obviously, I'm sure you're a young coach. You're going to keep growing and have more steps that you'd like to have, but you're happy and consistent where you're at now. Was there something that you have learned coaching those girls that may apply to being with the G League players now?
Absolutely. Understanding people and being adaptable. Those are two things that don't change. One, you're coaching girls that are in their maturity age, going into teenage. Then the high school girls are going into the young adult stage of being 17, 18, leaving college. So identity, I don't want to say identity crisis, but we're trying to find ourselves. And then again, another Lewism is, coach people, teach basketball. Help people, guide people through life, show and explain how to play basketball and execute what you want them to do. And those things stay consistent. And they're consistent due to the fact that in the G League, you have guys that their ultimate dream is to play in the NBA, right? And now they're sent off their path and they have to go through the G League. And the thing about the G League is, you have to be consistent with your habits. We talked about it. Because you're not directly aligned with your dream right now. That's how you feel. We're human, all right? Human nature feeling. Like, it feels like I'm off the track. And you just have to constantly help players and my seventh grade girls. Remember, keep the main thing. Have fun and love basketball and connect with people. Those are always my three things. And three things that we always talked about at the college level was recruit talent, develop talent, then graduate talent. And it's the same thing for my seventh grade girls and my G League guys was, we got to evaluate slash draft talent because we have tryouts in seventh grade girls. Are they good enough for the team or no? The G League, NBA, you have to draft. Do they have the talent to be on the team? The second one is develop, right? Seventh grade girls, you have to make the eighth grade team now. Eighth to ninth grade team, are you good enough? The G League guys, now how can we get you to a two-way, E10, or a call-up for a 10-day? Mm. Then the last one is to advance that goes into develop. Once you develop, winning and advancement happens. So those things are pretty consistent. Then being adaptable. Like, I remember All Saints, the biggest thing was cheerleading. So anytime we had a game on a Friday or Saturday, we had practice on Friday, cheerleading was a higher priority because at the time, all the kids had to play all the sports. So like you did four days of basketball already. So that fifth day, you had to choose cheerleading, right? So some Saturdays, I go into the game with six players, right? In the G League, we might have our two ways for 3 weeks. Then they pull out two ways. We don't have the two ways. Now we're down to 10. Now we have G League injuries. Now we enter the game with eight players. So how can we adapt our game plan, our strategies, our plays to connect and fit with the guys we have? Because now you're playing guys that normally don't play sometimes. And now as a coach, you have to be adaptable with your game plan, your subs, and those things to make it all connect and work.
No, and that's the two words that I think, obviously, every NBA team does it in their own right in terms of keeping 9, 10, 11, 12 ready to go is the stay ready thing. Absolutely. I think the stay ready mentality is magnified. Oh, you could. Yeah. I think the stay ready thing is magnified in the G League.
Absolutely.
Just because of the constant movement, three different rosters in 1 week, like you said, injury, call-ups, two ways up, two ways back down, all that. Just having that stay ready mentality for those guys, like you said, whoever those guys are, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because those second unit guys are just a tick away from either being a starter or going from 15 minutes to 32.
Yeah.
So how do you guys adapt with that ever-changing roster? So essentially, as you said, you want to be able to allow your guys to get them to a different spot, to the NBA, to somewhere where they're making a little more money or whatever the situation might be, to be able to help them grow. Of course, selfishly, I'm sure you want to keep a lot of those guys too, but I know that's not realistic. How do you guys adapt with that ever-changing team, that ever-changing roster?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the standards you set from the beginning, right? Because you're going to have your core guys. We kept at least 4 to 5 guys from training camp. So those 4 to 5 guys have to be our rock. We have to be able to trust you. You know the terminology. We can't have you being inconsistent. We're dependent on you. Because now with our quote-unquote best guys leaving, now you all got to hold the ship together until those guys come back, right? And we go back to our style of play, right? Really emphasizing team concepts and systems that allow guys to play together and not so much individually. Because once you start depending on individuals in the G League especially, because those guys can get pulled, especially if they're playing good basketball. They can get pulled, right? And if you've just been depending on those one or two guys, it's gonna be hard to get those second screen, third screen guys or stay ready guys to be able to thrive and execute what you need them to execute. So those two things, standards and emphasizing team daily. Everything we do, team defense, team offense. So that's our approach. And then sometimes we can anticipate who's going to be there as far as two ways, call up E10s, and sometimes we can't. And we just got to do the best that we can and just communicate and be on the same page as a staff.
I'm guessing, because we were just talking to another coach this morning on a pod about this, and this obviously is magnified for the league. The big team and the G team have to have a connection there, right?
Absolutely.
So it's not just the Texas Legends standards. This is the Dallas Mavericks standards that are bleeding down to the Texas Legends. You know, that front office and Jason Kidd, if they're aligned, and then obviously that's going to trickle down to the big team, of course. But then those same standards, same concepts, same approach, mentality. If you guys are aligned with the Mavs, then now everybody's singing the same song, which that makes you guys' job easier, because it's what we do. It's not just what the legends do. This is what the whole building is doing.
Yes, sir. Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah, for it to be able to start from the top and be able to go down. And with that, do they give you a set of guidelines to build around an offense for the G League? Or is it just you guys make up your own with the people that you have? How does that work?
We have to fit our style of play, personnel, right? So, okay. Again, emphasize team. You're not going to have a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or a LeBron James or a Luka Doncic that can dictate every single play. So that just goes back to emphasizing team and team concepts. I think you emphasize the spacing part of it. Those are the things we emphasize more: spacing, running habits and transition. Pick and roll concepts can be the same, but oftentimes we have to change the plays, how we defend due to our personnel. Terminology is very consistent. We keep the terminology the same, because once we do get those two ways and assignment guys, we have to still be aligned with the Mavs, right? But the style of play changes, the sets changes, and the coverages and matchups, we maneuver and change as well.
Okay. So you can adapt and at least change them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be awesome, especially for you too, to be able to learn the ins and outs of a program such as that too. To be able to, like, Dallas Mavericks, heck, that'd be one of those dream spots that I'd love to be. I've always been a fan of Mark Cuban, I have to say. But
very good guy.
Yeah, seems like it. Watched a lot of Shark Tank, so I am on that end too. But, Coach, as we said, you've had a tremendous career, and you are still a young coach. There is still a lot of time for you for growth, for opportunity. But looking back on everything, I know we've had a great reflection so far. But if we were to put you back into your first position, going back to coaching with the girls, like knowing what you know now, is there any advice that you would share with your younger self to ultimately help you gain to where you are now?
Perfect. Absolutely. Be quick, but don't hurry. There's valuable lessons right in front of you. There are valuable people right in front of you. There's valuable moments right in front of you. There's moments you'll never get back again. And that's one thing we oftentimes take for granted, because we're so focused on the journey, quote unquote, the journey, right? And sometimes it's cliche, just be where your feet are, right? And that's everything, all of you, just be right there, right? Because if you continue to create value where you are, currently are, the rest is going to take care of itself, right? The best interview every single day are the people that you work with. So every single day, bring value to those people, and those people are going to help you get where you ultimately want to go. Then the last part is just be diligent, be decisive, and stay focused on your goals and what you want to do, and move with purpose.
Perfect. Couldn't say much better than that, Dougie.
Perfect. You came prepared for that one. My guy was ready. It seems like everything with his career so far, always prepared and always getting ready to be able to take that next opportunity, but also stay where your feet are. And I feel like that's the hardest thing. It really is. You can easily say stay where your feet are, but it's the hardest thing, because you see all your friends' social media. You're like, how's this guy getting here? How's this happening? And it's exactly like you see it. You're like, why are I not having that? I've been putting in the work. I've been going through the struggle. That's why I wanted to highlight the struggle so much, is because you've made it to a great opportunity, but nobody talks about the struggles to be able to get from point A to point B. Everybody wants to talk about, I've had this. I'm an assistant in the NBA, like done X, Y, and Z. I've had a great career. But nobody ever wants to talk about those struggles. So that's why I'm very ecstatic and happy that you were able to be able to get on here, talk about this and share those experiences, because there are a lot of people who can resonate with that and hopefully open up their minds a little bit more, that they can get to this position. They can be in the G League assistant. They can be an NBA assistant. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Absolutely. I think, like you just said, it's not easy being where your feet are, right? But that's one of the best investments I made in my career was mentors, mentorship. People who, not those that's just going to hype you up when you're doing good, but the people that's going to tell you your breath stink and not tell someone else your breath stink. Just pure truth tellers. And that's what you want. And I was actually listening to a podcast yesterday about a guy. He sends his written books. He sends 5 copies to his friends. He picked 5 friends and sends a copy of his books to his friends. and they're going to tell him if the book's good, they're going to tell him if the book sucks. If it's not good, he has to go back into the arena and rework the fire and get better and find different ways to articulate his message. And I think those truth tellers will help you be in the moment, because they'll humble you and let you know that you think you're ready, but again, there's valuable lessons where you currently are right now.
100%, man. Listen, man, number one, thank you again for doing this. Before Dougie kind of closes it out, people will pull today, obviously, your story of failing and failing forward. But we need more people in our profession that have your transparency and vulnerability, because everybody wants to look unbreakable, whatever that looks like for them. But to Absolutely. Actually talk about your failures, to talk about this is what went wrong, to share the way you did, man, this was solid gold, man. So we appreciate you 100%.
I appreciate you all.
Yes, sir. Now, to be able, like I said, I know I keep harping on it, but just you being able to be here and talk about this is it's wonderful for everybody to be able to hear, right? And we are, I know me and Al always say, but everybody always thanks us for it. And we're like, no, we're thanking you, because you guys take time out of your day. This is what we enjoy. But you guys taking time out of your day with your busy schedules, being in the NBA, like having a lot of things going on and moving parts, for you guys to be able to take 45 to an hour, whatever it might be, just to be able to chat with us and be able to get back to the game. Everybody always needs more people like you and anybody else in these seats. So thank you for being able to share with us and have an opportunity.
Thank you all. I appreciate you. You all do amazing work. One thing I love about you all, y'all do y'all's background checks. A lot of people don't know about the All Saint days. So it was dope that y'all brought it up and it brought back great memories. And I'm gonna have to call a few people later today.
Yeah, no, man.
Of course.
Reflection breeds gratitude, man. We say that out here. Appreciate you all, man. No, you got it, brother.
Yes, sir.
You got it.
Everybody out there, as always, thank you for tuning in. Another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. If you didn't take anything away, that's your fault. Maybe you should turn the episode back and re-listen. But for everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. As always, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, all you coaches, keep working and keep rising, coaches. We'll see you all later.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.